Welcome to Nightlife, the first hour.
All right, tonight on Nightlife, the perils and pleasures of being a step-parent. 300,000 children in Australia live with a step-parent. One in five families are a step-family. These days they're called blended families or sometimes complex families. Phoebe Wallace from Step Families Australia says that part of the challenge is overriding or coming to grips with the legacy of narratives such as Snow White and Cinderella that put a negative spin on the experience of step families. How do you avoid being the wicked stepmother? Sure, it's a challenge, but being part of this of a step family can also be a rich and joyful experience. Of course, if you're a new step parent, having a couple of kids land in the household along with your new partner can be a real challenge. In fact, is a real challenge. Just what exactly is your role? What kind of relationship will you have with your birth parents, with their birth parent? And where do you draw the line on discipline? Tonight we're going to explore all these questions. And if you'd like to chat with our guests or share your own experiences or ask a question, 1-300-800-222. Joining me tonight, Phoebe Wallace, who's the Executive Officer of Step Families Australia. Phoebe, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's great. Well, great to have you with us. And Kelly Chandler, author of The Other Mother. Kelly, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, Kelly, you you had the delightful irony of growing up hating your stepmother, only to become one yourself, which is what you wrote about. Tell me how you ended up being a step-parent anyway.
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess I'd had a pretty colourful social life, and I found my first job when I was about 30, after having done a lot of fun stuff in the arts until then. And in that job, there was a chap who was about 5 years my senior, and he was really good guy. And he had just had a new baby, and that baby did not sleep. Mm-hmm. So I had my whole life going on outside, and he had this whole other world going on outside. And we just became friends. And we'd worked together for, you know, a couple of years, and then we both went off to other jobs but stayed friends. And I guess in that time I'd come to trust him, and he'd become a friend of mine. We had a little band of dudes that we hung out with. And yeah, after a little while, he let me know that his wife was leaving, and, this sort of strange world opened up before me. I kind of suddenly realized that maybe there was room in the world for me, that sort of this stable domestic life, maybe for the first time I actually wanted it. And, yeah, so he was pretty fresh out of a relationship, and like 30-something women started circling him like pretty vultures, and I didn't like that very much. And so I started circling too, and I circled hard and fast. And I'm not going to sort of progress with that that analogy, but yeah, we ended up kind of being together. And he had
by this stage he had what, two kids?
He had two kids, yeah. So the first, the non-sleeping one was joined by a little brother. So when I found them in this new way, I was five. The older one was five and the little one was two.
Mm.
Yep.
There's a wonderful moment at the beginning of your book where you describe you going to have a meeting for the first, well, almost for the first time in a way, with your own stepmother, who you'd grown up hating.
Yep.
And sitting down there and looking her honestly in the face, asking her advice.
Yep.
Because after all, she'd gone down the same road.
Yeah.
Was that the moment when you suddenly realised, you know, maybe she's just not the figure of derision that I've always thought?
No, I think we'd been working at it for a while. I'd sort of come out of the fog because I started... I was 14 or 15 when she came into my life, and I was as charged as an electric fence.
Mm.
And she'd taken my dad. Well, you know, my dad had fallen in love, and after my parents had separated, and I missed him desperately. And you know, so I felt sad about that, and chose to take it out on her. And so I never really let her in, which was a desperate shame because it meant that I missed out on, you know, decades of, or, you know, 15 years or something of like a really solid, beautiful demonstration of what a, you know, a loving relationship could be. As I'd sort of hit my 30s, I'd started to soften and, you know, they came to visit me when I lived in Vanuatu, my dad and my stepmom, and we nearly came down in a light plane on our way back from seeing, on our way to see a volcano. And I think after that, that kind of crystallised what was important. There was that and also the fact that they'd bought me 4 bottles of Australian Cab Sav. So I loved them both after that. So I think we'd started to soften there, but we still hadn't really had a first date, just her and me. It was always me going to see them and them talking about each other in the plural, like, how are you, Dad? Oh, we're good, you know. So the idea of having a date with her took a bit of courage. I felt this was even before anything had happened with Pete and me. I felt like it would be really important to sit with her and just kind of get an honest idea of what it was like for her being a stepmom with, you know, a horror stepdaughter, and just kind of get figure out what I was actually in for, and also to say sorry.
And of course, when with Pete's kids, of course, the your immediate instinct, or your immediate wish, of course, is that they would like you. But you'd known from experience that maybe this wasn't going to be straightforward. How did that go for you?
I think I deluded myself into thinking that that they would like me, and then I started reading up on, started joining some forums and reading short, you know, collections of short essays, and checking out websites and stuff. And the overwhelming kind of recommendation was, don't expect to be liked or loved by your kids, and don't expect to like or love them. So I had a little cry into my cup of tea when I found that out, because I wanted to be loved immediately and I wanted to be part of their world. So I was sort of over enthusiastic about the whole thing. If I had my time over, I probably would have taken it a bit more slowly, but I didn't. And I think that actually was a bit of an issue for the little one, because he was 2 and he desperately missed his mum and had no idea what was happening, that suddenly there was a new, you know, at my place, at Pete's place, there was me, and at his mum's place, there was a new new fella. And so he, everything
was different.
And no
one had consulted him about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's hard to consult a 2-year-old on anything really, except sharing, in which case, you know, they probably will win. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Phoebe, you would have heard this story 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I wonder whether the, I mean, I know it's a terrible cliche, the wicked stepmother, but I wonder whether really it contains a truth, does it, that's the position that stepmothers often find themselves in, and for some they never get out of it, and it's not their fault.
No, that's right. It's our fairy tales and stories have not done us any justice at all. They've been terrible, and it puts step into a really bad light. A lot of people hate the word step even and don't even use it. So saying that you're a step family, some people don't even identify with that anymore. They prefer the word, you know, blended or spare or other, like Cal's book. But, yeah, I think what happens with is that kids really struggle with loyalty, and they believe that by partnering with the stepmom is actually being disloyal to their biological mum. And so you have this real sort of war between what they believe and what's actually true. And that happens right throughout, right up until they're adults.
I remember speaking to a friend of mine once who was in that relationship, and she said it just felt all the time that love was only one way. It went out from me and it didn't come back. And she said, in the end, all I ever asked was for them not to be rude to me. And I realised that's all I could ever ask for.
Yeah.
And actually, she said, I think that's actually reasonable.
It's very reasonable, because what we say at Step Families Australia is that just aim for mutual respect. If you can do that, something else might grow from that, and that is an added bonus. So if you can get love along the way, then that is like, woohoo. But just mutual respect to start with, because these relationships can take years to form Absolutely. Like, if you look at the average, we say about 5 years. So there's a lot of you've got to adjust your expectations, unfortunately, when you get in when you get into the relationship.
Yeah. In other words, and not expect too much.
That's right. Correct.
What's the best? Okay. So, but that's hard, isn't it? Because after all, you're in love, and you're in love with this person who has two children. You want to be fully immersed in his or her world. Is the truth that you can't actually be, at least in the relation to the stepchildren?
Oh, look, I think you can, definitely, but you've got to take it slow and also bring the kids along for the ride. There's a lot of communication that needs
come.
To happen.
They mightn't come, might
they? They mightn't, but they need to be told. And there's a lot of work you can do prior to actually moving in together and blending as a family that can actually ease that process because... You know, a lot of the time we're in love and we're like, yay, let's do this. Let's move in. And we forget a little bit about the kids. And especially depending on their age is a big factor as well. So if they're really young, that's very difficult. Like Kel said before, trying to explain to a 2-year-old is really hard. But trying to explain to an 8- or 9-year-old, you must sit down and use open communication and really engage them in the process so they don't feel like they're getting left out.
Kelly, it's more complex than just with the kids, though, isn't it? That's a whole issue in itself. And I think, as we just acknowledged, it may end up positive, it may end up negative. At best, you can probably hope for something neutral, maybe. But there are all these other relationships on the side. How did you position yourself with the children's mother, for example? Because you would have had to deal with her a little, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, when you don't have kids and you break up with someone, that person just vanishes from your world. But when you've got Pete will be forever linked with his ex, and she, you know, we have a really amicable relationship. It's actually been, I think, writing the book actually really helped because she got to read it. Like, I spoke to her when I started to think about it, and she got to see it in draft form, and she, you know, she said that she was kind of glad to have read what was happening at our side in the times when the kids weren't with her, and she was also kind of glad to hear that it was mostly the same as it was when they were with her, so that was kind of good. But it wasn't. It's not just her. It was also her mum and her dad. They sort of dragged me into their world, like kind of, you know, I was invited to Sunday roasts with them once a fortnight, and that was, you know, I hadn't even made a commitment to my own parents once a fortnight, you know, in my whole kind of adult life. So the idea of spending, you know, Sunday or Saturday night with, you know, my partner's ex's in-laws was kind of a bit kind of mind-bending, to say the least. And that took a little while to kind of ease into, but they were absolutely determined that I would be in their world. I think they adored Pete and they were not prepared to let anything get in the way. They kind of created a sort of suburban Switzerland type, you know, safe house type situation. And on the weekends we had the kids, we went there, and when the kids were with their mum, you know, their mum and Conrad they went there for dinner. So there was this sort of exchange that happened, and I feel incredibly lucky now to include them in my life. You know, they're an extra set of parents. There's another mother. So there's all these other mothers in my life. There's Pete's ex. There's, yeah.
Phoebe, just back to you on this. One of the other comments I've often had talking to step parents is that you have to also moderate your expectations a little in terms of what you can do. I mean, if I explain it this way, that you know, if it's just you and the person you've fallen in love with and your own children, then you can decide entirely how your time is spent. But of course, at an important times, Christmas, birthdays, all of this sort of thing, you have to probably moderate what you can actually expect to do on that, because there'll be conflicting loyalties, won't there? I mean, the grandparents want to see them. The birth parents obviously want to spend time with them, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we find that leading up to Christmas is probably the hardest time for step and blended families. We get a lot of phone calls and people reaching out just not knowing what to do, how to navigate that whole, you know, do I spend the time with grandma? Do I go here? What about my stepfamily? Like, there's so many people to consider. So what we try and say is make it about the getting together that counts and not about the day itself, because there's only one day. There's only one Christmas Day. There's only one Mother's Day. There's only one Father's Day. So sort of focus on getting together and sharing moments and experiences together rather than focusing on that day, because otherwise you can be left quite lonely or disappointed, and it can get people quite down, unfortunately.
Yeah. I can imagine. What do you do about this, Phoebe? Maybe Kelly, this may not have happened in your own family or extended family and extended step family, but Phoebe, perhaps do you a common enough story you hear is that, well, you would like to get close to the kids and have a more reasonable relationship with them, but that's been cruel at the beginning because of the narrative that's coming from the ex, who says, well, you know, your father or your mother, let's say father in this instance, has taken up with this other woman and, you know, I've been treated very badly and she's no good. And that's, you know, in a jilted lover situation, of course, that's very common stories to be. And the kids are going to go with their mother, aren't they, on this? They're not going to make up their own independent minds until much, much later. That makes it pretty tough, doesn't it? What do you think
it makes it really tough. It's he said, she said,
Kids don't know what the truth is.
Kids have no idea, and almost trying to fix that on the other side makes it even worse, because their loyalty then becomes more conflicted. So it's, I guess it's really important just to be the bigger person and not to go down that track and not to engage in that type of conversation and discourse, and to know that if you stay true to yourself and you tell the truth and, you know, you be the bigger person, then down the line that child is going to grow up and they are going to realise one way or another who was telling the truth. And
Maybe. I don't know. Do you think
possibly
that's true?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's quite possible that the truth may never emerge.
That's true. And I know it's one of the biggest arguments that we have online in our closed Facebook groups and on Twitter and all sorts of stuff is that argument between one parent over the other. And it's really damaging. I think one of the things I tell step and blended families and parents is that you have to love your kids more than you want to hurt your ex-partner. You have to really hold that up and say, actually, I'm doing this for my child. I chose to have them with this person. I can't do this to them. And that's a really difficult thing to do. And that's when I think counselling or, you know, some sort of professional intervening is really the best option.
Yeah, because it's easy to say, isn't it? And pretty tough to do, and particularly because breakups are never entered on lightly.
That's
and
right.
And one person, you know, one partner may feel, you know, hurt to their very core by what happened. May feel, you know, a sense of betrayal that's not forgivable.
Yeah, well, step actually means sort of loss. So I think it's also important to acknowledge that each person in the family has experienced a loss. And just because you've repartnered and everything's rosy for you doesn't mean that the child's going to feel like that. They've lost somebody in their life that was there 100% of the time and now they're not there anymore. So acknowledging that and having open conversations about that, and I know that's going to hurt. That's not a fun thing to do. But at the end of the day, that's what's going to get you through and have a more powerful connecting relationship with your child than not doing that.
Kelly, can I ask you a tough question? But it's a question which arises very often too. In your relationship, because you get together with Pete and he's got two kids, so you're all of a sudden a stepmother, and you've got all those relationships to negotiate. But then, of course, you become pregnant.
Yes.
Hello. So now there's...
<Da-da-da-da>.
So I'm not trying to be harsh with you here, Kelly, but how... the instinctive desire must be, as a mother, to think, this is my child. How can I share the love equally with the stepchildren? Or is that unrealistic? How did you do it?
How do I share the love equally?
How do I avoid the almost overwhelming desire to prioritise your own child? Whether it be and who's go, you know, who's whether it's even something trivial like who's going to have a go on the bike next.
Yeah, I mean,
as to where you go and what you do.
I like to focus on personal safety in the house. Like just before I left tonight, my son was at the top. My biological son was at the top of the stairs, covered in pillows, and medium child was at the bottom of the stairs, going, "Come on, roll down the stairs!" And my call to that was just like, "There will be no rolling down the stairs. Like that's going to end in certain death." Like, so it was.
Come
you know,
on,
I know that as
come on, Kelly, for heaven, where was Pete?
Where's the fun?
Where's the fun? Where's
Pete was doing chores?
Where's a man? Where's a man who has to show kids how?
There's some situations where you actually just have to, you know, you can't, yeah, there was no way that was going to happen. And the medium one was really disappointed because he really wanted to see what would happen. Mm. And I know there's a lot of talk about how stepmums or stepparents shouldn't really discipline their kids. But there's just a couple of, you know, there's occasions when you probably need to do that. Mm. But in terms of sharing the love, I guess.
How did you sort out your feelings in relation to your own child and Pete's?
Yeah, well, it was just an adjustment to having a new creature in the house, I guess. I don't really know how to answer your question.
It's a tough one, I agree. That's why, you know, I thought I'd put it. Because I think every parent in that situation probably feels it.
There's a fierce need to protect.
Yeah.
The child that you know that you've brought into this world, but there's also the kids the other kids deserve the right to to discover this new baby in their own way too, like preferably not with a flashlight down their mouth to kind of see what was happening inside the 4-week-old baby, but they also had a right to kind of get to know their new brother, and as the little one got older, his brothers had a right to, annex his toys and sell them back to him at, a higher cost than they were purchased for in their imaginary games and stuff. And I guess you just have to let those relationships kind of bloom in their own way.
What do you think, Phoebe? Because it's an issue, isn't it?
It is an issue. It
causes a lot of stress in some step families because the stepchildren feel they don't get as fair enough a go as the natural kids.
Yeah, true. And I guess it also, every family is so different. You know, in Cal's situation, she was a stepmum before she was a biological mum. So there was, that share of love and negotiating that relationship before she actually had her own child. Whether a lot of other families are, they come together with kids each and then they go on to have another child. So, in every circumstance is different, but you're right. It is challenging, and there's a lot of talk online about it being fiercely protective of biological children, and how that impacts on the family. And normally, it's negative, unfortunately. But yeah, we say open communication, sit down, discuss it all out because it's way better out than in.
Sure.
One of the ways that I kind of dealt with that stuff was to write it down. So whenever I was feeling kind of overwhelmed or overchored or just exhausted or something weird had happened between me and one of my stepkids or my spare sons, I would keep a record of it. And after a while I had so much record that it kind of felt like maybe there was a place for that. Yeah, so that's when it started to get turned into a book, I guess.
Okay, all right, let's take some calls. 1-300-800-222. There are some lines free if you want to grab one. 1-300-800-222. Text 0467-922-702. Snowy, you've been waiting on there, sorry.
Ah, g'day guys.
Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to say, first of all, that I think it's so healthy that that this segment's actually happening, particularly on the basis that, I think it's not often talked about publicly enough. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you so much for being brave and putting it out there. second of all, I want to say that it's been an interesting experience for me because I'm actually the step parent. I don't like that word, like you guys said earlier, but let's use that for the purpose of this conversation. I'm the step mother in a same-sex relationship. Mm-hmm. So my partner left her husband and for me, basically, and they had two young children. So they had a little boy and a little girl, and they were 3 and 2-ish, respectively. And so the challenge was, I guess, kind of trying to explain that added complex for the kids, and then looking at being a stepmother. And it was interesting when you guys were talking because I think I probably found it easier in some ways because I was actually with the biological mother, I actually wasn't detracting from the mother, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so...
let me ask you, Snowy, whether... I mean, we sometimes want kids... we put all this, a lot of adult stuff onto kids sometimes, don't we? And do you think... What did the kids think about this anyway? When they were probably less fussed about the same sex part of the relationship than you think. Was that what you thought or not?
Well, I mean, as they've got older, the boy particularly, he's the oldest, he was the one that really has had to challenge and acknowledge the relationship more so.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's because he had a better memory of the previous relationship. But, mm-hmm. it was actually less about the same sex and having two mums. You know, it actually became quite a joke in our house that was like, oh, okay, I've got two mums. And then when the kid's father, you know, repartnered, I've got three mums. And so it kind of became this thing. But it actually became more about the inequality between the families in terms of, well, my mum and dad could get married. How come my mum and mum can't get married? Mm-hmm. So that became a topic of discussion. Mm. And then, you know, when we went through, the process of the plebiscite and then being the step parent in that situation, it was interesting to watch my own responses to how protective I got over the children and then my own guilt that I felt, in that kind of situation as well. So, ultimately we worked really hard and we've been really honest as a family. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, that resonated so clearly. It doesn't matter whether it's same-sex or heterosexual or whatever you're doing.
Sure.
I think honesty is absolutely key and putting the children first. It doesn't matter what decision you're making. The children have to be considered at the centre of that. And sometimes that means as a step-parent, you know what, I've got to put myself aside and I've got to look at this little child and say what's actually going to be the best thing for them. And I think that's a true symbol of loving a child. And I think that my relationship with the children has been better, particularly with Hunter, that's the boy. We've worked hard to do that with him, and he and I have become good friends first and foremost, and now I'm Mama Snow, and it's taken time, but it's been so worth it, and I feel very grateful.
Good on you, Snow. That's a very good story. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Oh, my pleasure. And I just one other thing I wanted to say was we also get together with our Brent, so that's the father. We get together with his parents quite regularly, and we've taken to joking about the fact that I'm calling them my outlaws. So, once you can develop that relationship and you can spend the family Christmases together, and again, that's about keeping the child central, then you know, that's when you've got a really healthy, loving, blended family, and it can work, and it works for us. So just don't use the kids as weapons and keep putting them at the centre, and you can't go wrong.
Thanks, Snowy. Good on you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye.
That was fantastic.
Mm.
Phoebe, what's the rule? What's the rule about discipline? So are you allowed as a step-parent to get stuck into the step-kids in a major way about discipline?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I think...
The
rule of thumb,
The rule in this house is that you have your room tidy, right?
Yes, yes.
And this has gone on for too long, and I'm going to read you the rounds of the kitchen. And in fact, here's some things that are going to happen. Consequences of the fact that you've just been deliberately flouting this requirement. So I'm going to discipline you because that means I'm withdrawing a whole lot of privileges, blah, 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 blah. Mm. Not okay?
Well, look, it just depends. The rule of thumb is that the biological parent does most of the disciplinary
behaviour. Yeah, but he won't.
Behaviour.
He won't.
So I think the best thing to do in that case is to all sit down, is to come up with the rules of the house and then also come up with a list of consequences that yeah. are there for everybody to see. And then you can, I think it's perfectly fine for the step parent or whatever word you want to use to actually refer to those notes that are visual on the fridge or on the wall and say, actually, this has been broken. And if they say, you know, they kick up a fuss and blah, 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 then you just have to actually wear it and wait till the biological parent gets home.
Really? Yeah, that can get tough, though, if the biological parent won't support you. Nick, hello.
Yeah, mate, how you going?
Not bad. What's the situation you'll find?
I've got a partner and we have our own kid, plus she's a 11-year-old son as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can find it quite hard to, like, tell him yes, like, tell him no, not to do things and try and discipline as well. So.
Does she support you, Nick, or not?
No, she doesn't. She's trying to go to his side a bit. So.
Yeah.
But the worst thing is, like, trying to tell him no and not to do things, and then she sort of gets at me sometimes because I'm a bit too hard on him.
What do you think, Phoebe?
Yeah, it's really difficult when you're not a united front. I think when you're not parenting as a team, that makes it really tough, especially for you, Nick, because your son's about to hit adolescence, and it's only going to, you know, get more challenging, I think, in terms of the disciplinary stakes. I think there's got to be a way that you need to, you know, get on the same page if you can. That's the way to deal with that.
Yeah, well, there's a fair bit of age gap between my biological son with her her son. So my biological son's not even 2 years old yet.
Right.
And I try and discipline in him to a certain extent, but he doesn't really understand much yet, like you know. But yeah, trying to discipline the other boy and trying to get him involved with what I do. Like, I work on a cotton farm, so I do shift work, I do ridiculous hours, and trying to get him on the stage and that. He's not really that interested in it, but he's more interested in playing with his toys on his tractor than coming out on the farm learning a bit more about it. So yeah, it's kind of hard to try and get me involved with what I'm doing as well.
So, Phoebe, what if Nick's partner won't get on board with this and won't get on the same page, what should Nick do? Just walk away? Not walk away from the relationship, but walk away from the conflict, or what?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one, because the more that you try, Nick, to discipline, he's going to absolutely, you know, revolt, basically. So you have to sort of, if you can, sit down with your partner and talk about a strategy that would be the best way forward, where you say, look, she's not home, this is what's going to happen, Nick's going to be the person that tells you what to do and how to do it, and there's no fighting about it. So you really have to come at the same page, otherwise it's just not going to work.
We're trying to make it work. We're slowly working through it, so it's slowly getting there, but yeah, sometimes it's pretty hard as well.
We've got lots of tips and tools on our website as well, and please feel free to reach out to Step Families Australia, because
we'll give some contact details.
There to help.
We'll give some contact details for it. All right, Nick, good luck with it, mate. It's tough. I mean, I think we should acknowledge that, shouldn't we, too, Kelly? I mean, it is. It's tough. It's not straightforward.
Yeah, it's not easy. I think about my own stepmom and how just completely off the chart rude.
I bet you didn't take direction from her about anything, did you?
No, not a single bit. But I've got not one. I mean, my memory's pretty shattered anyway. But I've got not one memory of her ever stepping in, losing her temper, cracking it with me in any way. She just sort of disappeared into, you know, she became like, you know, stylish wallpaper when I was around. I think that was a self-preservation thing for her, definitely. But I lose my temper with all three of our kids, you know, regularly. Like, I think I spent about 9 hours cross today But, you know, so I think it's amazing that she managed to actually do that. I mean, it's also different because she had, you know, I was in and out of her life, not that, you know, like it was fortnightly, and then I slowly started to come less. So it was only really at family gatherings or, you know, at, you know, when we went away or some kind of weird situation. But yeah, she never, I think she, yeah, I don't know how she did that.
All right, text Deborah from the Grove. Hi, Deborah. I tried for many years as a stepmother. Sadly, their mother influenced them. On the upside, my child's stepmother is wonderful to my son. It's wonderful for him that his two parents and partners can spend Christmas Day and birthdays together. Yeah, well, what Deborah says is something we have discussed, isn't it? It is very tough if one side of the broken relationship is not going to prioritise kids but still wants to carry on the war.
Mm.
Unfortunately for many people, that does happen. AR in Brisbane says, my new partner's son deliberately sabotaged and destroyed a potentially very good relationship.
Mm.
Son was 25, which is, you would have thought, time to move on. Being a stepmum was hell, says my texter. Nearly ruined our relationship. The cause was the hate and the snake venom that came from the children's mum. Didn't matter what we did, the kids were feral to me. I stopped fighting with my husband about his kids because it was going to ruin us and our new baby's lives. The kids eventually completely sided with their mother. She hasn't moved on. 20 years down the track, we've gone on and set ourselves up with a new family. That's another point, Phoebe, I was going to raise, and you know, Kelly, you might like to comment here too. With the complexity of these issues sometimes, is it a better option sometimes to do what my texter says? To walk away from some of the relationships that you're confronted with?
Oh, I mean... I think
if the contempt is too much, I absolutely think that you have no other choice, then yes, definitely walk away. But I think what we're missing here is that parenting in itself, just with biological kids, is the hardest job in the world. When you are a step mum or stepdad, you are like a modern day superhero. I can't express that anymore. The amount of things that you have to deal with as a step parent are just immense. So I think really lifting step parents up and saying, you know what, you're doing a great job. There's not enough support, I don't think. And I think sometimes it leaves people with the only choice but to walk away. Mm. And that's awful because, you know, as your texter said, they're missing out on a great relationship. And at the end of the day, that's what we have. That's life, is building connections and having relationships.
Sure. Robin, hello.
Oh, good evening, panel. I guess our situation is kind of similar to some of the text messages that you just read out, Phil, in that my husband and I have now been together for 12 years. And when I met him, he had a 20-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That was complicated in itself, where she was actually abandoned by her mother at the age of 6 weeks, mm-hmm. and she was raised by her dad and her grandmother.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, I work in the social welfare industry, and I was particularly mindful of that, particularly mindful of the loss and the attachment challenges and all those kinds of things. But what happened? What's happened essentially is that the family has wrapped around her so much that they've wrapped her in cotton wool all of her life. Mm. No one's ever said no to this, you know, young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who has come into her dad's life, you know, and finished up being even a semi-serious relationship has kind of been derailed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things with her and I were really good when I first met her dad, and you know, she was all very supportive and all the rest of it. But you know, where the kicker started and where the full on turnaround of personality happened was when we said that we were going to buy our first house together.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that was a pivotal point where, you know, it was almost like overnight it was, no, this is not going to happen, and I'm going to do everything I can to not make this happen, you know. And, you know, like I said, 12 years later, her dad and I are still together, and there has been, you know, lots of lots of offers of support and assistance along the way, but, you know, you can only lead a horse to water for so long, and if they don't want to drink, they just don't want to drink, you know. And it has nearly got to the point, more recently in the last 12 months where it has caused significant issues with her father and I. Her dad's not a very well person, and it was kind of like, okay, you want it. You know, I'm just about happy to walk away from it because it is just so difficult. And from my perspective, that was not about supporting her, because she just doesn't want to know about it, you know. And it doesn't matter what you try and do to support the situation. And from my perspective, it was more about supporting her dad and her dad's health.
What does your husband think about all this, Robert?
Oh, he's well and truly stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, he's well and truly stuck in the middle. And for a man that's not well, that's not fair. You know, so sometimes as you know, supposedly being the adult in the situation, you do have to think about, well, is it just better to walk away? Mm. You know, what is going to be lost? You know, what are the really long-term repercussions here?
Mm. You know? Phoebe, what do you think?
Oh, that's such a difficult situation, and good on you for for just being there and supporting your husband, because, you know, how old is she now? If she was 20 when you first got together.
She's 33.
Mm. Wow.
You know, and it's kind of, you know, like, even at 33, the tantrums, it's like, really? Mm. You know, really? you know.
She's never really grown up.
No. Mm. And nobody, and because of her background and history, like with her mum, seriously, nobody has ever said no to this girl.
Mm. And you're not going to be the one to do that, because that's just too hard.
Well, part of the problem is because of her dad's health, I have had to actually turn around and say, you know, actually it can't happen that way, you know. And that has caused a massive rift. And the problem with that is that her dad has communication challenges. And, you know, I mean, even after one of his last surgeries, he lost the ability to speak. That happens after every surgery, like to verbally communicate. And so then it is left up to me to be able to communicate that to her, which creates even more challenges, because she just doesn't want to hear anything that I have to say. She doesn't want to hear anything that I have to contribute. It's just a no-win situation. And, you know, like a lot of the discussion tonight has been around younger children, you know, coming into...
Yeah.
You know, and this is just, I guess, a situation. And I get that it's very complex, and I get that it's probably at the extreme end. But sometimes it can be 10 times harder being in a step parenting role when you're taking on adult kids, because they've then got 20 or 30 years worth of baggage that comes with them.
That's right, Rob. Anyway. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for.
We keep pushing on.
Good on you.
Good on you, Robin.
Keep pushing on. Exactly. Wayne, you've got a handful there by the sound of it.
Hi, how are you going?
Not bad.
Yeah, my marriage was amicable when we divorced, whatever else, and my partner, my ex, got into quite a few relationships. I was on my own for a while, then had a relationship with no children.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got into my current relationship now. We're together buying a house and stuff. It's very... She got 7 kids, I got 5 kids.
Wow.
I think ages ranging now from 27 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Just
so you got 5 and she's got 7, yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So her kids were very supportive and appreciative for me being around. The younger ones struggled a bit because the boys were closer to the dad. But my partner made it very clear to her children that Wayne's on the one, when he's going around, he's not going nowhere.
Yep.
You need to respect him and stuff like that. Whereas I wasn't as good with communication, and I think I didn't set the boundaries as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, together, her kids are very outgoing and loud and stuff, and mine more introverted.
Yep.
We went for Relationships Australia and stuff like that, and just tried, I think, and then I tried too hard to try and make it work. But I just can't seem to get my children to be engaged. So, and in the end, we're down to just, as long as they be respectful and stuff, I think. But yeah. Communication, I found, has been the biggest key, and being consistent.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's right. Is it Phoebe and Kelly? Back to what we were talking about before too. That in the end, despite your best efforts, you know, you can't make it happen. I mean, if it happens, it's great. But there's a minimum kind of floor plan, I suppose, and that is just politeness and respect. And you've got a right to that.
Yeah, you've got a right to that. But I can see. I mean that's a lot of kids to be, a lot of different personalities to be juggling, and you know that's a tough situation to be in, especially with the introvert extrovert kind of dynamic. Like different people have, you know, they have different needs for space and personal space, and yeah, that's a tricky one. And to kind of bring it back to respect and I think that's what else can you do when people are kind of so at different poles. I think you've done a really good job there, Wayne.
Yes, Phoebe. They say what's the cliche? It takes a village to raise a child. I mean, sometimes right. In step families there is a village around, but it doesn't necessarily make it easier, does it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a crazy village sometimes. But Wayne, that is a lot of kids, and well done first and foremost, because if you've got mutual respect with all those kids, you're winning. Mm. That's doing a great job.
Okay, all right. Just quickly, one last call. Valerie, hello.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I'm Valerie from Adelaide.
Mm.
I first met my late husband, I asked the blessing of my church, my mother and my sons, if I could marry Peter. Mm. And I said right from the word go that there was to be nothing. I hate the word step. I think it's the most ungodly name.
Mm.
I called Peter their chosen father, because we chose him to be in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And my former husband, who's just passed away very recently, so I've lost both my husbands now, and the last few phone calls I had from him were joyful too. And I think that memories, you've just got to have unconditional love, automatic forgiveness, and a common ground to work with. But we didn't have to work at anything. It just came naturally.
Mm.
And I'm just so blessed. I'm a very blessed woman in this respect, that I had 20 years with my former husband and 20 years with my late husband. And I think, well, I've had 40 wonderful years with two wonderful men.
Good on you, Valerie.
And that's the way I look at life now.
Good on you, Valerie. That's a very, very positive way to look at it.
It is.
All right. Well, time has eluded us, Phoebe and Kelly. It is very complex, as we've said. But staying positive, staying open, staying trying to put as much communication as you can into it. But accepting that you can't make it happen is probably a wise takeaway too, isn't it?
Yeah, realistic expectations,
yeah.
I think, is key.
Yeah, exactly. But you can insist, I think, on politeness.
Absolutely.
At all times. All right, well, we better leave it there. Phoebe Walsh is the Executive Officer of Step Families Australia. Thanks, Phoebe.
Thanks, Phil.
And Kelly Chandler is the author of a marvellous memoir called The Other Mother, which details with all these issues as well.
You're too kind. Thanks.
You'll have to read it. It's hilarious.
Good on you, Kelly. Thanks.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. Sometimes.
See you, both of you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.